say more about different ones and the aspects that they do. But I wanted to warm you up tonight because I'm going to preach a strong message this first one, all right? I want to get everybody happy and everybody loose and everybody free because I want to talk to you tonight on this first message of 2019. We've been talking about the choose, I choose. I know some people over Christmas got a new iPhone, but we're talking about I choose. And we've been talking about, we may change this series. I'm not sure what we'll do going forward, but we'll stay on this while this is still good. And while the Lord still keeps speaking to us. But I choose. Somebody say that. I choose. Your choices. You choose, but then your choice makes you. Be it good or bad. Amen. You have every right to choose. You are free will, but you do not have the right to choose the consequences of your choices. Amen. And so you make the choice. Turn around and tell somebody, and the choice makes you. Amen. We talked about choosing joy. Now, I love the song tonight, Sister Cricket. That was a wonderful, I will trust. I will trust in you. That is a choice. She's really singing what we've been preaching on I choose. And so tonight, here's what I want to talk to you about. I choose no excuses in 2019. No excuses. Would you stand with me tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 9 and Exodus chapter 3. Matthew chapter 9 and Exodus chapter 3. No excuses in 2019. If you're glad to be here, say amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. If you're there, say amen. Turn around and see if your neighbor's got it. Just to double check, make sure everybody's got it. You can look over my head here. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing how much sickness? Mm-hmm. And how much disease? Among the people. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then saith he unto the disciples, read this out loud, starting with the harvest. Ready, read. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest. Because I really believe what Jesus was doing, healing the sick, every sickness, every disease, what he was doing, he wants us all to do. He's saying that he wants you to go where you are in your field, and you heal every sickness, you heal every disease. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom of God in the sense of spiritual gifts and operations. There is in ministry and administration, but I want you to understand something. You can do something mighty for God. All you got to do is pray. Somebody say pray. And then I want to read one scripture in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, one half of a scripture. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. If you're there, say amen. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go? Read that first verse, first part. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go? Father, help us to choose no excuses for 2019. You want us to go. And we may not feel adequate. We may have excuses. But Lord, help us tonight to choose no excuses. Help us, Lord, to serve you more and love you better. To serve you, love you more and serve you better in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored tonight. Amen. If I can get a few of the men to linger after the altar call, because we'll probably have a good altar call being the first service of the year. But I think the last piece up here is this Kurzweil piano. It's quite heavy. About 10 men will do it. No, I'm just kidding. About 3 of the right men will get it, okay? But we probably need about 5 of all of us, all right? And if you'll help us get that up, and Brother David, our media director, will be here early Sunday, and we'll hopefully have everything back online. And you just can't do anything great without making a mess sometimes, all right? But it's putting it all back together, and I really appreciate all your help. Many of you helped me tonight before the service to do what we have here, and so thank you for that. And so we appreciate that. In our first text tonight, Jesus looked around to the multitude of the diseased, the desperate, the discouraged, the doomed, and the dying. And he said in Matthew 9, verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I want you to tell somebody, look at that scripture and turn around and tell somebody, he's got you in mind for that. He's got you in mind for that. You see, this is a fascinating statement because he is saying there is a harvest for Westmoreland Church. There is an unreached, untapped potential that we are assigned to that no other church would ever reach if our lights were to cut off and we ceased to exist. We are here by divine appointment. We're not here by happenstance or circumstance. God brought you here. You're in Westmoreland Church. You're plugged in because there is a harvest here. And the harvest is not just a harvest. It's a huge harvest. Say those words with me. A huge harvest. God is wanting to do amazing things. But here's the problem. The laborers are few. In other words, there's enough people that needs to be reached. There's enough potential that is unrealized. There's enough power to reach those people. But the problem is the laborers are few. Now, the burning question of the hour of 2019 is why? Why when there's so much potential? Why when there's so much power? Oh, God has power like you have never seen. Why with so much around us is there so much unreached harvest? Really, the one word that you can say for all of us, this applies to preachers, deacons, members, all of us, is the word excuses. And the same is true today. Now, let me give you the definition of excuse. It is now, this is not going to be negative. This is going to be very positive. So you hang in there, all right? Because I can kind of feel it tightening up here. I knew it would. So let me put a little butter on my Cracker Barrel biscuit here. Amen. Before I eat you. Amen. An excuse is an attempt. And you know, really, I want us to think about this. To release from an obligation. Do you think it's just the preacher's obligation to win the lost? What does the word obligation mean to you? Now, don't answer out loud, but think about that. An obligation means responsibility. It means an assignment. It means when I stand before the judge of the earth, I will give an account for what he has obliged me to do. So an attempt to release from that obligation or duty because of some sort of circumstance, or it could be an apology used to gain an exemption for service. A reason, here's the third definition. An excuse is a reason put forward to justify an offense. Now, that's another sermon for another day. Now, here's the top 10 excuses. Number one, I forgot. Number two, no one told me to go ahead. Number three, excuse is I didn't think it was that important. Number four, wait until the boss comes back and we'll ask him. Number five, top excuse is I didn't know you were in a hurry for it. Number six, I love this one. That's the way we've always done it. Oh, number seven excuse is that's not my department. I can tell you now that doesn't fly. And number eight, how was I to know the difference? Number nine, excuse is I'm waiting for the okay. And then all time number 10, I guess the should be number one, should have counted down like David Letterman, is that's his job, not mine. Oh, excuses. You'll hear them every day. The devil, he'll supply them to keep the church folks away. Don't y'all remember that old song from the 80s? Amen. In the summer, it's too hot. And it's in the winter, it's too cold. And what is that part where it says the whole family had to stay home just to blow the poor kid's nose? Amen. Excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. Some pastor said, I have an up and down church. They're up at the mountains and down at the beach. Now, have you ever wondered what it would sound like if excuses for church were related to things that were used elsewhere, such as a ball game? Now, Chuck Swindoll came up with this. You might hear things like this. If they go to a ball game, this is what they might say if they use the same excuses for church. Every time I went, they asked me for money. Come on now. You don't ever hear that from the ball games, do you? The people I sat by weren't very friendly. Now, at the ball game, the seats were too hard and uncomfortable. You never hear that, do you? Number four, the coach never came by to visit me. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Number five, the referee made a decision I didn't agree with. Number six, some games went into overtime and I got home late. You'll never hear that from football games. Number seven, you'll never hear this said from a ball game. They played music I didn't like. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Excuses, excuses. The truth of the matter is that when it comes to God's will and reaching our kingdom potential, when it comes to 2019, then we need to choose no excuses in 2019. Would you give him a hand of praise? There's no excuse not to praise him and not to bless him. In fact, one preacher said, I want a no-excuse Sunday. Beds in the foyer for those who say Sunday is the only day to sleep. Eye drops for those who stayed up too late. Blankets for those who say it's too cold. And fans for those who say it's too hot. Relatives for those who say that's the only time company comes over. Lunch for those who can't come to church because they have to cook for the family. So we'll have lunch here. Trees and grass, extra trees and grass in the premises for those who don't need church because they only see, they can see God just as good in nature. So we're going to bring nature into church. And here's a good one. We bring Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who wouldn't recognize church without either. Now, I realize the Wednesday night crowd, you're not the excuse crowd. Oh, come on now. On a more serious note, do we hear hell making excuses? Do we ever hear the homosexual, radical, gay agenda who are about to take over the freedoms of this country? And by the way, we love people who, no matter what they struggle with or what sins they have, and that's, don't tell me I don't have compassion when I tell you that God loves you, but that is a sin that he can deliver you from, and it is a diabolical sin, but God loves you. Amen. He loves all, and even one little sin is diabolical. Can I get a witness out there? But the radical gays agenda, they're not making any excuses. They'll shut down the state. They'll cancel concerts. They'll pull businesses out to push their agenda. And you mean to tell me that gas is too high and nobody, listen, can you imagine hell saying gas is too high? Can you imagine hell saying I'm tired of people in their ways? Can you imagine the devil or his demon saying, well, I'm just offended. I'm going to quit. I'll never work anymore for the devil as long as there is an eternal flame in hell. I'm done and over with. No, sir. The devil and his kingdom is not divided. And they're out in force. And they're not making any excuse. And I promise you in 2019, they're coming full on for your children. They're coming full on for your faith. They're coming full on for your finances. And now it's time for the church to arise. Put 2018 behind you. Let's make a fresh start and say, I choose no excuses in 2019. Come on and give him a hand of praise tonight. Now, let's talk about Moses tonight. Moses had a great calling on his life, but he gave five common excuses. Out of these five excuses, all of them come. So I want us to look at those five excuses so that we can choose no excuses in 2019. Number one, point number one, he said this, I'm a nobody. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 11 through 12. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God said, and certainly I'll be with you. Somebody say, certainly. I will be with you. And this shall be the token of thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people, when? Somebody say, when. Not if, but when. Oh, that sounds like a good sermon a preacher ought to preach. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. In other words, Moses said, who am I? Really what he was saying is, Me? I'm a nobody. I can't do this. And really think about what God was asking him to do. That's like going to President Trump and saying, we're going to do X, Y, Z. Or that's like going to the Russian premier and saying, we're going to take several of the people away. And whether you like it or not. I mean, can you imagine how daunting of a task? And so we really can't blame Moses. So I'm just telling you, I'm trying to speak compassionately tonight and pastorally tonight, that when it comes to excuses, we all have them. We all struggle. And there sometimes they seem to be just, notice, I didn't say they are, but they seem to be justified. Because Moses, even though it was sincere, it was not a justifiable excuse. To say I am nobody is not an excuse. Let me tell you, everybody is somebody in his body. I want you to know that you may not feel qualified. You may not feel like you're able. You may not feel like you're capable. You may not feel like you can, but that's the point. You never can anyway. It's God in you, the hope of glory. It is the Lord who comes in you that does the thing. I can't preach on my own. I'm telling you, there's times when I preach, when I'm sitting on the front row, and I feel 1,000 miles away from my Lord, have mercy. We all struggle. We tired, blah, 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 blah. And the minute I pick up the microphone, it's like, where did that come from? I'll tell you how. It's the Lord that does it. It's not Ricky Nelms or Jerry Nelson. Somebody shout hallelujah. You are somebody. Don't say I'm a nobody. By the way, don't put yourself down when God has lifted you up. Now, there is the sin of pride. There is the sin of Absalom, or self-exaltation, or I'm going to take over and blah, 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 and rebel against authority. Now that's on the opposite side of the spectrum. But this is what I'm on the other side is, you just feel so inferior. You feel like you lack educational training. Well, I don't have educational training. I didn't go but to the 7th grade. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. What church? That they had been with Jesus. The greatest school is the school of prayer. And there are no graduates because there are no degrees. I want you to know the learning continues forever and forever. And as long as you're in the school of prayer and as long as you are on your knees, you are going to do something. God can do something through you. You are not a nobody. I'm waiting about 3 more amens. All right, move on. What about your age? Here's what I hear a lot of times. This isn't just Westmoreland. I've been privileged to pastor 5 churches in the North Carolina Conference. All 5 were as different as night and day. I've pastored a city church. I've pastored a country church. I've pastored a church out on the coast. I've pastored them, all types of people. And oftentimes you will hear this. Pastor, I'm getting older, and I'm not as energetic as I used to be. It's really time for the young people to step up and do things. And by the way, that is true. Amen? Because we don't want to get in the way. There's an opposite to that, too, that we can do things so much because we're used to it, but we don't realize that we've lost the effectiveness of it. And instead of letting fresh blood come in and take it to the next level, so we kind of just stand there. So that's a different issue, but that's very rare. Most common is this. Young people, let the young people do it. I'm not as young as I used to be. May I kindly say what that is? When you say you're too old or too young or too, may I tell you what that is? What do you think that is? There you go. Now, all right. Your age is not a hindrance to God. Now, your health can hinder you, absolutely. You may have physical issues that you didn't have when you were 20. But I promise you, my God, there is something you can do. Did you know that Moses was 80 when he came into the fullness of what God had called him to do? Did you know that John Wesley lived into his 80s? And he complained that he, as he got older, he said, I feel a desire to sleep later. He used to get up at like 5 in the morning every morning, and he slept late. He complained in his journal, I slept to 5:30 this morning. Come on now. He was in his old age still preaching and building churches. The Bible says God will renew your youth like the eagle. I have seen this, and I'm like, I'm in that age. I'm not older yet. I should say that. Be careful. And I'm not young anymore, but I'm in that middle part. And I see now where it's like everything is geared to young people. We want a pastor that's 23 years old and we want somebody that's, it's like we idolize youth in this time and age. And there's nothing wrong with youth. We need the energy. But let me tell you something. There are things that only life experiences can teach you. There's called the test of time. And there is the scripture in Proverbs that says we are to honor those with the silver hair they have. Now, I'm not saying everybody with silver hair is the wisest and maturest. We've got to mature as we get that silver hair. But I'm telling you, those older saints, some of them may have had their quirks, but they did mighty things for God. Don't let age keep you. In fact, Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, said, I'm against the devil. I'll kick him as long as I got a foot. I'll fight him as long as I got a fist. I'll butt him as long as I got a head. I'll bite him as long as I got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum him until I go home to heaven and he goes to hell. Somebody quit giving your excuse. Hallelujah. 2019, do something. The harvest is plenteous. God, if you got breath in your body, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Well, let everything that hath breath work for the Lord until he calls you home. Amen. Perhaps you think it's your background. I've messed up. I've sinned. I've fractured my life. I've made one mistake after another. Okay, let's just start right now. Today's a new day. The ball dropped in Times Square. I watched it. Come on now. New Year. I went up to people at work the other day. I said, Happy New You. What's that all about? Because that's exactly what I mean. Turn around and tell somebody, Happy New You. God's decided to... Here's something. God's decided to invite you back for another year. Come on, lift your hand and praise him. It's a new year. It's a new you. God's got a plan. God's got a harvest. If you have sinned, simply do this. Father, forgive me of my sins. I messed up. And you need to repent. You know what the word repent means? Don't go back and do the same things over again. Cut a cord to it. Well, I'm struggling with it. Praise God, get in the altar, and we'll anoint you, and we'll get the Bible in you, and you'll get stronger as thy days, so their strength shall be. You'll be a little stronger this year. You'll be even more stronger next year. You'll go from glory to glory. You may take a couple of steps back. You may have a failure here, but you don't fail, and the only time you fail is when you stop and when you quit. And the devil's going to, I said he doesn't make excuses. So don't say, I'm a nobody. This is a new time and a new year. Somebody say amen. I'm out of time. Am I making an excuse? Number two, I don't know exactly what to say. Exodus 3:13-15, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What am I going to say? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And you shall say, somebody say, you shall say. Open your mouth and declare. And say to this, when they start folding their arms, looking down their nose, like, who are you? Don't sit there and like, the I am has sent me. Now be kind and be polite, but don't let anybody on your job, don't let anybody anywhere in this world run you down. Say amen. Now, we need correction, and we need discipline, and we need counsel. Now, I'm not saying that. Don't reject counsel. And sometimes counsel is not counsel until it stings a little bit. Come on now. You know what? I was thinking, when I've cut my hand more in the last 3 years than I have my whole life. And the other day, I mean, I just cut that thing, and it started bleeding, and I had to get a Band-Aid for it. And when I went home, I put my phthalate on it. And when I put my phthalate on it, and sometimes good counsel will be like my phthalate. It'll sting a little bit, but it gets that stuff out. Amen? But listen. Just because you don't know exactly what to say doesn't give you the right to say nothing. You know what? People are funny. On one side, it's like we talk too much. But the opposite is we don't say enough. Can I get a witness out there? Now, how many of you know both are wrong? If you talk, and your mouth is in gear and your brain is not, how many of you know that's going to cause problems? Come on now. Amen. If you've been married, that causes problems. Can I get a witness? All you men out there better say, oh, me. But Brother Philip, the opposite is true, too. When we zip our lips, when we should be speaking up for the Lord in a kind way, or when we need to witness, people say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell people. When you're in the hospital, I don't know what to say. But let me go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know what the scripture says? Look at that. What does it say? Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. Learn what to say. Find out how to give an answer. Look at 1 Peter 3 and 15. Quit using excuses that you don't know what to say. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready. Is that up there? 1 Peter 3 and 15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of you. And these singers and these television preachers, and they put the microphone in their face and said, what do you think about that? And they're up there going, and they're hemming and hawing. They're missing out. We're not here to say a blessed question mark. Well, I don't know. Maybe your idea is as good as mine. We're here to declare the way, the truth, and the life. And we're to boldly confess and boldly say, hey, the Lord is the answer for drugs. The Lord is the answer for sexual disorientation. The Lord is the answer for transgender. The Lord is the answer for adultery. The Lord is the answer for hope. The Lord. And here's how. And you may not give all everything. You might not have all the big theological words like they use at Holmes Bible College. But just say it in your simple way. But find, don't zip your lip. Don't be a silent witness. Silent witnesses don't get anything in court, brother. You'll get hung on a silent witness. I'm here to tell you, but Jesus got hung on silent witnesses. But we need to proclaim him. We need to have something to say in 2019. And I'm not just talking about the Sunday school teachers and the preachers. You may say, well, I don't really know a lot. That's why you learn, so that you can begin to say, you know, when they ask you a question, what do you think? Well, you know, here's what the word says. And there was one preacher, I ain't going to call his name, but he said, you need to quit saying the Bible says, because people don't believe the Bible. So why do you say the Bible says? Hey, the Bible says, whether you believe it or not. Jesus didn't go around and saying, well, he said, it is written, thou shalt, it is written. Somebody say, it is written. Amen. You know, some of the old timers would get on fire for God, and they'd carry around a little Bible in their pocket. In the back of the Bible would have little answers to questions, called a soul winner's New Testament. Have an answer at that moment, that divine moment. You may botch it. You may not explain it right. God's not looking for perfection, but don't make an excuse and say, I can't say it. That's an excuse. We've got something to say. Turn around and say something to somebody. Just say, you're blessed. Amen or something. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? I got three more excuses, but I don't want to keep you out all night. I'll do it the next time. Pastor, thank you. I want 2019 to soar with the eagles. I want to walk in the glory of the Lord. I want my prayer life to be greater. I want to read the Bible more. I want to be deeper. And I want a soul to be saved. I want to tell my uncles. I'm going to go see my uncles this year. I want to tell my cousins. I want to tell my coworkers. I want to tell you and others. God is the answer. And let me tell you something. It's quite simple. You're going to be around people, and you're just going to have everyday conversations with them. But somehow or another, they're going to come into some crisis. Somehow they're going to come. How many of you know crisis happens? Can you get a witness out here? And brother, that's when you let them have it. And that's the wide open door. They don't care about politics at that moment. They don't care about transgender at that moment. What they need is a word of hope. And how many of you are going to say what the Lord has said? No excuses. No excuses. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What's the rest of it? No turning back. No turning back. Come on, lift your hands up and make no excuses for 2019 right now. Everybody in this building, don't let what the past has done, what you've done in the past or what the past has done to you. Don't let what people have said. Don't let what your age. Don't let your limitations. Just trust him tonight. Believe him tonight. There's other excuses that Moses gave. And I'm here to tell you, when it was all said and done, God used that man. Turn those excuses around and great and mighty things come. Give him a hand of praise as Pastor comes back tonight. Amen. No excuses. I said no excuses. Come on.
I think that's a great song for us to sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's just singing unto the Lord. I choose to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
We love you, Lord.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, come on, to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.